Mortifying Ordeal. Written by Winds of Time. Narrated by Rhea314. Phantom, Omniscient Reader. Rating teen and up audiences, no archive warnings apply. Relationship. Kim Dokja / Yoo Jung Hyuk. Chapter 1. Kim Dokja collapsed onto an open seat, without even a half-hearted glance around the subway car to check for the presence of pregnant women or elderly people. Forget that. Tonight, he was the elderly person. His back creaked enough to qualify. Wearily, he dug through his bag for his earphones. He put them in while the Starstream app loaded on his phone. By the time he logged in, Yoo Jung Hyuk's stream had long started. His mood lifted when the familiar black avatar appeared on his screen. As Supreme King had promised, he was halfway through a solo run of the Ichthyosaur Lair dungeon. He was being besieged by a group of the sea dragons. Within seconds of Kim Dokja watching, Supreme King launched a flurry of skills. The ichthyosaurs reeled. The staggered icon appeared above their heads, just in time for a massive AoE attack to reap them down. The chat room exploded.
X. Delusional Demon. X.
Whoa, look at him go.
Yonki.
Bravo.
Ghost Fleet.
Awesome, Master.
Goryeo's First Sword.
Clapping hands emoji, clapping hands emoji, clapping hands emoji.
Reaching Nirvana. Has sponsored 200 coins. Collab with me, YJH. The Tyrant King himself.
Like I said, what's so good about this old man?
Chun In-ho.
Yeah, he's so lame.
Chun In-ho.
What a chunibyo, lol.
Ghost Fleet.
You wanna go?
Kim Dokja frowned.
Bald General of Justice.
You should step out if you don't enjoy watching.
The Tyrant King himself.
What's wrong with you idiots licking his boots?
The Tyrant King himself.
Wake up. He bombed the last world championship.
The Tyrant King himself.
SK is finished. You might as well put him in the retirement home.
A message sent by X Delusional Demon X has been automatically censored. Review. Reaching Nirvana. Has sponsored 200 coins. You know you want to. Chun In-ho.
FR, Zarathustra should have given him the boot way earlier.
Cho Jinchul.
Yeah, he should die for the shit he tried to pull on Queen Anna.
Queen of Beauty.
You should definitely stop talking now.
Persephone.
I wouldn't bother warning them, honey.
Persephone.
It'll happen anytime now.
Reaching Nirvana has sponsored 1,000 coins. Stop ignoring me, YJH. Chun In-ho.
I heard he tried to put her in his bed and she kicked him out of the team, lol.
Cho Jinchul.
Our queen is 1,000 times too good for him.
Cho Jinchul has been banned. Chun In-ho has been banned. The Tyrant King himself has been banned. Queen of Beauty.
Whoops, here we go.
X Delusional Demon X.
DK coming in clutch. Yeah, Ajashi.
Crown emoji, Demon King of Salvation.
Nirvana, you're on thin ice. If I catch you spamming again, I'm banning you permanently.
Reaching Nirvana has left the chat. Queen of Beauty.
Good evening, Demon King.
Demon King of Salvation.
Hey, everyone.
Ghost Fleet.
You're late, Ajashi. Why did we have to stand here listening to those jerks while you slept on the job?
Demon King of Salvation.
Yeah, sorry.
Demon King of Salvation.
Meeting ran late.
Who the hell scheduled a department meeting at 6 in the evening anyway? Usually Kim Dokja just caught the beginning of the stream at his workstation, one browser window stealthily pulled up in the corner of his screen. Although he had been bothering less and less with stealth lately, what were they going to do if they caught him? Fire him? His contract was set to end in a month. He put his long list of fruitless job applications out of his mind.
Ghost Fleet has sponsored 10 coins. Master, you need new mods.
The donation message popped up on the screen. In the box in the corner, Yoo Jung-hyuk's head turned. Kim Dok-ja could just about make out his frown. This was why he preferred watching on a computer instead of his phone whenever he could. The picture from the live feed was too small to do justice to Yoo Jung-hyuk's face, let alone read his micro-expressions.
You're late, Demon King.
A deep voice growled in his ears. Kim Dok-ja found his tightly wound shoulders relaxing. Yoo Jung-hyuk could have done ASMR videos with that voice. Too bad he preferred using it as little as humanly possible.
Demon King of Salvation.
Hey, YJH, did you know your baby teammates try and throw hands with haters in the chat when nobody is watching them?
Demon King of Salvation.
That's got to be good for the team reputation.
This time, Yoo Jung-hyuk's frown was fierce enough to be seen from the moon.
X, Delusional Demon X.
I didn't even do anything.
Demon King of Salvation.
I've got a censored message from you saying otherwise.
Ghost underscore fleet.
Those jerks deserved it. I wouldn't have needed to say anything if you had banned them faster.
Demon King of Salvation.
Maybe I should just mute you two.
Demon King of Salvation.
Help you save your own reputations.
X Delusional Demon X.
WTF, unfair.
Mute them for an hour.
Yoo Jung-hyuk said, merciless.
Ghost Fleet.
Master, no.
Demon King of Salvation.
It is done, my liege.
Queen of Beauty.
Eyes emoji. Monkey covering eyes emoji.
Yoo Jung-hyuk didn't answer, having already gone back to his systematic ransacking of the dungeon. For a few moments, Kim Dok-ja's bout of spring cleaning left the chat calm and quiet.
Yonki.
What was all that about anyway, earlier?
Yonki.
Queen Anna.
Queen of Beauty.
Oh, you sweet summer child.
Queen of Beauty.
Don't ban him, Demon King. He's new.
Demon King of Salvation.
Hey, what do you take me for?
Demon King of Salvation.
I don't ban that easily.
Bald General of Justice.
You have been known to get overzealous.
Persephone.
Especially when AC is mentioned. Winking face.
Demon King of Salvation.
I have not.
Bald General of Justice.
It's all right. I'm sure the Supreme King is grateful for your assistance.
Ghost Fleet has sponsored 10 coins. Yeah, Ajishi, we all know your master's biggest simp.
That brat? Wasn't general chat muting enough for her? Did she want to get banned entirely? Kim Dok-ja waited for Yoo Jung-hyuk's reaction. The streamer's only visible response was to trigger his Breaking the Sky skill, setting off the sound of thunder in Kim Dok-ja's earphones.
Queen of Beauty.
OMG, that smirk. Monkey hiding eyes emoji.
Persephone.
I have to wonder where Judge of Fire is tonight. She'll be sad she missed this.
Oh yeah, come to think of it, Uriel was late, wasn't she? It was only a passing thought for Kim Dok-ja, whose fingers were working at zooming on his screen. When he could see Yoo Jung-hyuk clearly, that handsome face looked the same as ever. Deep, dark eyes focused on the game under an elegant but severe brow. Needlessly beautiful jawline set in concentration. What smirk?
Persephone.
Anyway, to answer your question, Yonki, that person was referring to Anna Croft, an American pro-gamer.
Yonki.
Oh, yeah.
Yonki.
I think I've heard of her.
Yonki.
Wasn't she in the same team as the Supreme King not long ago?
Bald General of Justice.
Team Zarathustra, yes. But SK left them after the championship last year. And they've been vague about the reason. That's why there are so many nasty rumors floating around.
Queen of Beauty.
Maybe Ghost Fleet and Delusional Demon know more? That's when SK formed Team 999 with Steel Sword in them, isn't it?
Goryeo's First Sword.
Who cares?
Goryeo's First Sword.
Stupid drama.
Persephone.
Demon King?
Demon King of Salvation.
Yeah?
Demon King of Salvation.
Are you suggesting I unmute the kids and disobey my liege?
Not that unmuting Yi Ji-hae and Kim Namun would do much, anyway. Kim Dokja knew better than to think Yoo Jung-hyuk had opened up to them about this.
Persephone.
I'd rather know what you think, actually.
Why are we talking about Anna Croft? Was what Kim Dokja was thinking. He just wanted to spend his subway ride relaxing to the therapeutic view of Yoo Jung-hyuk obliterating monsters and ways of survival.
Demon King of Salvation.
About?
Persephone.
Oh, come now, don't pout.
Persephone.
The faster we get an answer to our questions, the faster we'll stop talking about it.
Persephone was annoyingly perceptive for someone on the other side of the screen. She had been a regular fixture of the streams for a few years now, and she seemed to have made teasing him into a sport.
Demon King of Salvation.
Ask YJH, then.
Persephone.
But aren't you the Supreme King's oldest and staunchest fan?
Persephone.
Surely you know more than we do.
Yunki.
Did the Supreme King tell you something?
Demon King of Salvation.
You think he talks to me. That's funny.
Koryo's first sword.
You definitely know something. You hate that woman's guts.
Demon King of Salvation.
I thought you didn't care about the drama. Also, I don't hate her.
Koryo's first sword.
False.
Queen of Beauty.
Hmm.
Ex-delusional demon X has sponsored 10 coins. L-O-L. Persephone.
There, there, Demon King. We understand.
What did he do in his past life to deserve this kind of abuse? Kim Dokja cast a longing look at the overhead screen facing him in the subway. The only comfort it had for him was a cartoony safe instruction video that he knew by heart.
Ghost Fleet has sponsored 10 coins. Spill Ajashi.
Kim Namun, Yoo Ji-hae. Yoo Jung-hyuk snapped, making Kim Dokja tense in his seat. Keep using my donations as your personal chat, and I'll ban you myself.
Ghost Fleet has sponsored 200 coins. Sorry, Master. Ex-delusional demon X has sponsored 200 coins. Aye, aye, Captain.
Those idiots. Did they want Yoo Jung-hyuk to pay attention to the conversation in the chat? Kim Dokja waited, but Yoo Jung-hyuk said nothing more. Only when he was certain that the man was focused on managing his aggro did Kim Dokja take to typing again.
Demon King of Salvation.
You're all making such a fuss. It's not that interesting.
Demon King of Salvation.
They kept clashing for leadership of Zarathustra. The sponsors favored AC after YJH's poor performance last year. YJH left.
Demon King of Salvation.
The end.
Eileen.
Strange. That's not what I had heard.
Eileen.
Sorry, first time chatter. Hi.
Queen of Beauty.
Hi, welcome.
Demon King of Salvation.
I bet.
Queen of Beauty.
Oh, here comes the vinegar.
Eileen.
What do you mean, Demon King?
Demon King of Salvation.
I can guess at the things you heard. AC has got half the esport community playing the White Knight for her, and not exactly the better half.
Queen of Beauty.
True, and pretty impressive considering the number of sexist bullies in there, actually.
Eileen.
Well, that's not her fault, is it? She's not responsible for what trolls throw around.
Demon King of Salvation.
Have you ever watched one of AC's interviews? She's very good at talking. She'll imply anything under the sun to avoid admitting that YJH was just in her way.
Demon King of Salvation.
Meanwhile, YJH won't let anyone ask him questions about Zarathustra. Probably because he knows it would be bad PR if he glared someone to death or put his fist through a wall.
Demon King.
Kim Dokja nearly jumped out of his skin. Yoo Jung-hyuk was glaring into his camera.
Stop saying unnecessary things, he said.
Kim Dokja felt a knot form in his throat. Yoo Jung-hyuk wasn't wrong. He had meant to shut down the conversation, not feed it. Far be it from him to acknowledge his mistakes, though.
Demon King of Salvation.
What, am I wrong?
Be quiet.
Demon King of Salvation.
You tell them then.
Demon King of Salvation.
The chat wants to know why you left Zarathustra.
Well, the first part of Kim Dokja's prediction got proven right. Would Yoo Jung-hyuk put his fist through a wall next?
It is a decision I made for my own career. Stop asking questions.
Having said his piece, Yoo Jung-hyuk returned to the game with a vicious frown.
Demon King of Salvation.
Voila.
Demon King of Salvation.
Straight from His Majesty's mouth.
Yonki.
Wow.
Yonki.
Man of few words.
Queen of Beauty.
Yes, I'm afraid he's not a very talkative streamer.
Crown emoji. Demonic Judge of Fire.
At least half of the things he says on his stream will be Demon King and Shut Up, actually. Covering smile emoji.
Bald General of Justice.
Evening, Judge of Fire.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
Hello, sorry I'm late. I've been running everywhere at work lately.
Demon King of Salvation.
Hey, you.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
Hi, DK. Heart, heart, heart.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
Oh, why are Lee Ji-hae and Kim Namoon muted? What did those two do again?
Persephone.
You'll want to watch the replay, Judge. I believe there are a few entries of choice for your compilation.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Thank you. I'll do that.
Queen of Beauty.
The compilation?
Demonic Judge of Fire.
The Demon King compilation.
Demon King of Salvation.
Excuse me?
Demon King of Salvation.
The what?
Demonic Judge of Fire.
I didn't tell you about it.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
It's a compilation of all the times YJH says Demon King during the streams.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
It's 3 minutes long so far, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Queen of Beauty.
Wow.
Queen of Beauty.
Monkey covering eyes emoji, monkey covering eyes emoji, monkey covering eyes emoji.
Persephone.
Asterix laughing quietly, asterix.
What the... Kim Dokja loved Uriel, but some people had weird hobbies.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
I'll have to extend it to your previous username, though.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
I have been digging really deep in the channel, and I hadn't realized you were a reader from his very first stream.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
I knew you had been with him for a very long time, DK, but you were actually there from the start. Heart eyes emoji, heart eyes emoji, heart eyes emoji.
Queen of Beauty.
Really? But DK and SK don't know each other IRL, right?
Persephone.
It must have been fate, then.
A wry smile curved his lips. Fate. Sure.
Demon King of Salvation.
My stop is coming up.
Demon King of Salvation.
Since you're here now, Judge, I'm going to leave mod duty to you. I need to AFK for a bit.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
Asterix salutes asterix. Leave it to me.
Kim Dokja rose from his seat without lifting his eyes from his phone. Usually he would just go home like this, one eye on the street, the other on the screen. But he had to make a detour to buy himself something to eat. Supreme King stopped to check his equipment before the chamber of the final boss. Yoo Jung-hyuk would probably conclude the stream after this. A little frustrated that he was going to miss the end, Kim Dokja moved his finger to close the window.
Demon King.
He halted. Yoo Jung-hyuk glanced at his camera, a brief look in between clicking on tabs.
Don't be late next time, he said.
Weirdly moved, Kim Dokja smiled. He could never tell how much of the chat Yoo Jung-hyuk caught. He rarely reacted, and could even go as far as to ignore donation messages. But he wouldn't have spoken up if he hadn't caught sight of Demon King of Salvation leaving.
Demon King of Salvation.
Jerk, then pay me to be here?
He zoomed. Yoo Jung-hyuk's only answer was the curl of his lips. Sometimes the bastard could be a bit cute. Kim Dokja pushed the door closed with his shoulder and towed off his shoes. He dropped his convenience store kimbap on the kitchen table, then poured himself into the nearest chair and thunked his forehead down next to the plastic bag. He let out a deep sigh. He wanted nothing more than to spend his evening reading web novels, but after dinner he should probably muster up the energy to write a few more job applications. It felt so futile, though. Say he found another job. All that would achieve was to offer him more of the same, days spent in the company of people he disliked, doing something he disliked. He would try to be the dutiful employee at the beginning, but soon enough he would slip back into his usual apathy. If he could muster some zeal at work, maybe he wouldn't find himself so often staring the specter of unemployment in the face. But faking enthusiasm for his job was taking it too far in his book, even to keep a roof over his head. Sometimes he wished he was more like Yusanga. His ex-colleague was still thriving at Minosoft, while he was stuck in one dead-end job after another. Some people were just the protagonists of their own lives. That was the way it was for people like Yusanga. And, as if summoned by his thoughts, the fulguration bloomed behind his eyelids. Kim Dokja smiled ruefully.
Another great stream, Jinghe-si.
In Kim Dokja's mind's eye, a familiar office appeared. The wall in front of him was occupied by a bookshelf with more trophies than actual books, all neatly arranged. The blinds hadn't been closed on the window, and the city lights glowed in the corner of his vision. The desk he was looking at was the most cluttered surface in the room, two monitors taking center stage amid gaming paraphernalia and the mess of cables that came with it. The cursor navigated with practiced ease through the StarStream's menus. The replay video started uploading. The software closed. With a pang, Kim Dokja noticed that the desktop background had finally been changed. The picture of Yoo Jung-hyuk and Lee Sol-hwa, gorgeous in their wedding attires, had been replaced with Transcendence Gaming's logo. A hand wider than Kim Dokja's came up to card through thick hair. He felt it, a ghostly sensation on his own scalp.
"Keep it short," Yoo Jung-hyuk said. "I have to start dinner for Mia soon."
"Of course." Uriel's voice chirped through the phone pressed to Yoo Jung-hyuk's ear. "Oh, but how is your sister? Hasn't she just entered middle school?"
"She is fine. You could give her a little more than that, Jung-hyuk-a," Kim Dokja said. "She's trying to bond with you, you know."
Yoo Jung-hyuk didn't react. He couldn't hear him. Kim Dokja knew that very well. But it didn't prevent him from speaking to him out loud sometimes, like he was sending a comment on one of his favorite novels. Han Si-young would have laughed at him if she knew. But Han Si-young used her own fulgurations as an inspiration for her stories, so she was hardly a model of healthy soulmate dynamics. Kim Dokja straightened and stretched his arms up, realigning his spine with an audible click. He got up to pour himself a glass of water. Halfway across Seoul, poor Uriel kept chatting away, only getting curt responses for her efforts. Transcendence Gaming was a new esport company. When Yoo Jung-hyuk had left Zarathustra 8 months ago, his old coach had snatched him up and founded Transcendence, essentially around him. She had bullied a friend of hers into taking care of the business part of the venture, while she gathered promising young gamers under her wings. Namgun Minyoung had a real eye for this. Transcendence Gaming's two teams were already making waves in their respective leagues. The rest of the company was no slouch either. Uriel, the manager of Yoo Jung-hyuk's new team, genuinely did her best by him. That had been enough to endear her to Kim Dokja, even before Demonic Judge of Fire and Demon King of Salvation had met on Yoo Jung-hyuk's StarStream channel. Kim Dokja unpacked his dinner with a helpless smile. "Fate," Persephone had said earlier. It hadn't been fate that had guided him to Yoo Jung-hyuk's channel. Yoo Jung-hyuk was in the kitchen now, washing his hands and picking ingredients from the fridge. Kim Dokja hoped the fulguration would end soon. Looking at the culinary masterpiece that Yoo Jung-hyuk was gearing up for was bound to put him off his own lackluster meal. "And the gaming house is coming along nicely," Uriel was saying. "Did I send you the address?"
"Yes," Yoo Jung-hyuk said, and pulled the phone from his ear long enough to confirm that he had made a memo of it. "When are we moving in?"
We're hoping to make it happen by the end of the month. I know it won't be a problem for you to get back into the habit of commuting, Yoo Jin-hyuk-si, but hopefully you can get Kim Namoon to stop fucking whining about it. Does that brat expect to be able to work from home his whole life?
I'll talk to him.
I'm counting on you, team leader. If anything, you'd think he'd be happy to see Lee Ji-hae in person every day. Doesn't he have a crush on her?
Kim Dokja picked up his chopsticks as the conversation continued. It was like eating while watching a movie. Just a normal evening of listening to trade secrets and events happening to people he had never met. Modern science struggled to understand fulgurations. What set them off? How did they work? Why was it that some people only received thoughts or emotions, while others got the full experience of their soulmate's five senses? Only a couple of things were known for certain. At seemingly random moments, some neurons in the brain would fire. Without even noticing, that person would start projecting. Their soulmate would then receive the projection as a fulguration. It was a fact of life, and easy to get used to and to ignore. Except for people like Kim Dokja, who received a record-breaking average of 4 fulgurations per week. It was surprising because Yoo Jin-hyuk was usually successful at everything he set out to do, but the man was just abysmal at bond control. Kim Dokja was swallowing a mouthful when a shout rent the air.
Oppa!
He choked and fell into a coughing fit. Yoo Jin-hyuk turned away from the counter with a burst of alarm. Mia usually knew better than to startle her brother when he was using sharp knives.
"What's wrong?"
he said, as he hung up on Uriel. The girl stood in the kitchen door. Yoo Jin-hyuk and Kim Dokja looked her up and down, but she didn't seem injured. If anything, her eyes shone with excitement.
"I got one!"
she squealed.
"I'm having one! A fulguration!"
Kim Dokja's shoulders unwound. So that's what it was. Come to think of it, Mia was 11. She was about due for her bond to settle. Was it her first time?
"She's growing up so fast, Jung-hyuk-a," he whispered.
He felt old all of a sudden. He could barely remember having been in her position. He had matched her enthusiasm, that much he knew. Yoo Jin-hyuk smiled as Mia rushed to hug him.
"I have a soulmate,"
she giggled.
"Is it nice?"
She nodded with energy.
"I think he's not Korean," she said.
"It's a he."
Kim Dokja snorted at the wariness that bloomed in Yoo Jin-hyuk's mind. Mia would have a hell of a time dating when she got to that age. He finished his dinner, only listening to the siblings with one ear. He generally tried not to pay too much attention during private conversations, but he had seen things far more intimate than this over the years, especially when Yoo Jin-hyuk and Yoo Sol-wa were still together. That had been the only time of his life when he had actually cursed Yoo Jin-hyuk for never walling up his mind.
"I can sort of tell he's not speaking Korean, but I can still understand what everyone in the vision is saying. It's weird," Mia said.
So Mia's soulmate lived in another country. Well, that was common. It was far more unusual for two soulmates to be born in the same city, the way Yoo Jin-hyuk and Kim Dokja had been.
"I'm bilingual now,"
she proclaimed proudly, hands on her hips.
"What language?"
Yoo Jin-hyuk said. She faltered.
I think... maybe..."
The corner of Yoo Jin-hyuk's lips lifted. She smacked his arm and huffed.
"Well, what about you? What language does your soulmate speak, huh?"
"Korean, corporate English, and I can say where are the toilets in Mandarin,"
Kim Dokja said, amused. But the smile faded from his face when he felt Yoo Jin-hyuk's unease. Yoo Jin-hyuk was reluctant to answer her question. He didn't want to upset her. He didn't want to upset her? What did that mean?
"Oh, is it Sol-wa Oni?"
Mia whispered, looking contrite. The divorce had happened just a few months ago. She knew it still hurt her brother to talk about his ex-wife. Yoo Jin-hyuk shook his head and ruffled her hair in reassurance.
He kept his expression unaffected.
I don't have a soulmate.
Kim Dokja froze.
You don't? Mia exclaimed. How come?
It happens sometimes.
Yes, to people whose soulmates were dead. What was going on? Was Yoo Jung-hyuk so underwhelmed by Kim Dokja that he'd rather lie to her? But Kim Dokja would feel it if he was lying. There was no impression of disconnect between Yoo Jung-hyuk's words and his thoughts.
But that's not fair, Mia shouted. Are you sure? Really, really sure?
It's not important, Mia. Fulgurations would distract me during a tournament. It's better this way.
And there now was the dissonance in his mind. This part he didn't really believe. This part he was lying about. There was a pang of sadness, of loneliness in his chest. Kim Dokja recoiled as if he'd been burned. If this had been fiction, the scene would have ended there. But no matter how much Kim Dokja pretended sometimes, Yoo Jung-hyuk's life wasn't a book, and Kim Dokja couldn't just turn the page in denial. He had to sit here, staring at the wall as the fulguration continued, as Yoo Jung-hyuk comforted a disappointed Mia and sent her back to her homework, as Yoo Jung-hyuk returned to his cooking like nothing had happened. Unaware, like he had apparently been all along, of the man looking over his metaphorical shoulder. Finally, the sound of running water faded. The view of Yoo Jung-hyuk's hand on the faucet disappeared too. Kim Dokja was left alone in the ringing silence of his small apartment. Chapter 2. According to statistics, less than 40% of people in South Korea were in active contact with their soulmate. Only 8% had ever met them. These numbers were on a constant rise since the middle of the 20th century, when international communication and travel had become affordable for the general public, but they remained low. Differences of culture and language, personal preferences, lack of money, were all factors that meant a meeting wasn't always possible, nor sometimes even desirable. A soulmate was just this person you knew, somewhere on the other side of the world, and that you shared random bits of your day with. Only in fiction did it turn out otherwise.
Can you believe the nerve of this troll?
Han Si-young fumed as she hammered at her keyboard, hunched over her desk.
Too many tired tropes? Well, damn, don't read it then.
You do use too many cliches.
Oh, go to hell. Actually, are you the one who wrote that? Get out of my comments section.
Why would I bother with anonymity when you're the one begging for my opinion on your drafts?
Kim Dokja said without raising his eyes from his phone. She threw a creased paper ball at him. He let it rebound on his forehead and fall sadly on the cushions of her couch. There was a silence.
Okay, what's up with you? Han Si-young said. You still haven't whined about me being late for dinner.
You're always late.
Yeah, and you always bitch. What gives?
Kim Dokja had let the hand holding his phone drop to the sofa. He looked at Han Si-young's ceiling. Only 8% of people in South Korea had ever met their soulmate. It was funny. Kim Dokja had forgotten until now, but when he was young, he really wanted to meet Yoo Jung-hyuk. That naive yearning felt so far away. Too much had happened since then. Nowadays, he was fine with what they had. Just spying on Yoo Jung-hyuk once in a while was good enough for him. And after all, Yoo Jung-hyuk had never hinted that he wanted to meet either. There were ways to pass that message along. Yoo Jung-hyuk hadn't hung a red ribbon in his room, like was in fashion when they were teenagers, or worn a brightly colored woven bracelet like they did in America, in hope that his soulmate would see it during a fulguration. He hadn't left his address or his phone number in conspicuous places. Often, Kim Dokja's pride had chafed at being so uninteresting to Yoo Jung-hyuk. But it had been hard to blame him. He wouldn't have wanted himself as a soulmate either. He heard himself say, "Have you ever heard of one-sided soulmate bonds?" To his surprise, Han Si-young whirled around on him,
cat-eyed in her excitement. Ooh, look who's talking about cliches. I'll have you know it's called psychic self-isolation syndrome. He stared at her bragging posture. What? The romance cliché? She said impatiently. Oh, woe is me. I'm the only person in the world who doesn't have a soulmate. There must be something wrong with me. Oh, wait. Turns out I do have a soulmate. He's just traumatized. Hooray!
Right, said Kim Dokja, whose literature of choice had never been romance. He was aware that soulmates were overrepresented in the romance genre, of course. In real life, when someone was in regular contact with their soulmate, it wasn't always a romantic bond. Your soulmate could be your best friend, a sibling figure, sometimes a parent. Ijihei's soulmate was a woman 10 years her senior, whom the girl idolized, saying she was a kendo genius. Fiction had a different take on it. Romance in particular leaned either on the soulmates find each other against all odds trope, or on the lovers reject their soulmates to be together cliché. As someone involved in a decidedly platonic soul bond, Kim Dokja found his suspension of disbelief stretched too thin with those books, so he avoided them. Han Seong turned back to her computer, looking smug as anything. Anyway, turns out it does happen in real life. But it's pretty rare, obviously. And the actual medical name is psychic self-isolation syndrome, which nobody ever gets right. I have to do everything around here.
You did research. You did research on a cliché. You?
Hey, shut up, she said, glaring at him. I do research for my novels.
Isn't your current novel high fantasy anyway? Doesn't the King of Reincarnators have better things to do than meddling with romance?
What, I can't introduce a subplot? At least wait until I send you the draft before you criticize.
She pecked at her keyboard in a huff. He regretted diverting her from the original subject. She had actually been saying something interesting. Luckily, she kept speaking, presumably to prevent him from getting another barb in. Anyway, one-sided bonds don't exist, obviously. Soulmate bonds go both ways. But sometimes someone with trauma will develop a PSI syndrome, right? Kind of like a wall in their head to keep people out.
A wall, said Kim Dokja.
He was feeling a bit sick to the stomach. Maybe it was hunger. Yeah, and then they don't send fulgurations anymore. They still sent them before, though. That's what most novels get wrong. The trope doesn't work if your dreamy soldier of a love interest got PTSD from fighting in the war, because then the heroine should have received fulgurations while they were young. The only way she doesn't know she has a soulmate is if he got trauma as a kid or something. She trailed off suddenly. Her typing stopped. Kim Dokja's hand clenched around his phone. Han Seong turned her chair around. She fixed her eyes at a point above his shoulder and licked her lips. Which happens, obviously. There are plenty of kids with messed up home lives out there. The stats say about half the people diagnosed with the syndrome got it when they were young. Silence draped itself thick and heavy between them. Kim Dokja hadn't told Han Seong about his past. They had met in college. He had been living on his own for the first time. He had left his bullies behind in high school, and the notoriety of his mother's book had been beginning to fade. He had had no interest in revisiting those dark years. But though Han Seong hadn't heard it from him, she was shrewd enough to have guessed the gist of it.
So, she said, awkward in a way she rarely was.
You got it, then.
Kim Dokja looked away from her. PSI syndrome. A wall in his head. Well, it was better than the ghost theory. A morbid part of his brain had spent the last days wondering if he had died years ago, in the end, and had just failed to realize it. Only people whose soulmate were dead, or not yet born, didn't have a bond. Apparently. Han Seong seemed to chew on her tongue. Maybe she was trying to be tactful. No wonder she looked like she was having such a hard time of it.
Are you sure? Like, how the fuck would you only realize that now? She finally blurted out. I thought you got a ton of fulgurations from what's-his-face. He never, I don't know, thought about it?
No, Yoo Jung-hyuk never thought about soulmates during his fulgurations. Generally speaking, he went about his days without ever concerning himself about the bond. Still, he had to have talked about it at some point. With a doctor, maybe. Or at the very least, with Lee Sol-pa. Soulmate information was definitely something you shared with someone you wanted to marry. That conversation with Mia just happened to be the only one that Kim Dokja caught. He let his nape drop against the couch backrest. A wall in his head. Why had he never wondered at what Yoo Jung-hyuk was receiving from his end of the bond? If Kim Dokja sometimes got embarrassing or extremely personal visions from Yoo Jung-hyuk, why had he never feared that he was projecting things that he didn't want to show either? Sure, he practiced bond control, unlike Yoo Jung-hyuk, but that wasn't a guarantee. Sometimes fulgurations slipped through, yet he had never been worried. Han Se-young rolled her chair closer to him. Now that her surprise had passed, her eyes were sharp.
So what?
What? He retorted, wary.
You don't like it?
The unexpected question pricked something in him, like it had only been waiting for this. A burst of emotion exploded in his chest.
I hate it, I think, he said, his gaze unfocused.
Yoo Jung-hyuk felt lonely. Yoo Jung-hyuk felt lonely. Yoo Jung-hyuk, whose side he had always stood at, didn't have the slightest inkling that he existed. Kim Dokja had been with him through the grief, through the divorce, through the betrayals, and Yoo Jung-hyuk didn't know. He had never known that there was someone out there who shared his pain, who felt for him, who understood intimately everything he was and would be. Yoo Jung-hyuk may have held no interest in him, but Kim Dokja had thought, at the very least, that neither of them would have to be alone. His hand hurt where he was clenching it around the angles of his phone.
Good, said Han Se-young.
That startled him enough to look at her.
What's good about this?
He said in disbelief. She scoffed and turned to her computer.
You're always so willing to lie down and take it. I half expect you to convince yourself that this guy was better off without you. So, good. He doesn't know you exist and you hate it. That's great. Progress.
Kim Dokja would have argued that he wasn't worried about himself here, but it didn't matter.
So, what are you going to do? She asked.
Kim Dokja paused. He relaxed his grip and turned the phone round and round in his hand. He stared into the distance. Han Se-young rolled her eyes at him.
There we go, she said. Scheming.
She dipped her hand in the small basket on her desk and threw candy at him. He caught it without looking. The thing was, Kim Dokja couldn't exactly walk up to Yoo Jung-hyuk and introduce himself as his soulmate. He might have been tempted once upon a time, but that had been when he thought that Yoo Jung-hyuk knew him. Since he didn't, he would just think Kim Dokja a liar, maybe even a stalker. So he had two possible paths. Get rid of the PSI syndrome, or make contact in another way. The first alternative involved research and, from what he quickly found out on the internet, an unfortunate amount of therapy. Now, technically the state's universal health coverage would pay for therapy sessions, but that didn't mean Kim Dokja wanted anything to do with it. So he read. He bought books, even physical books for a change. Medical primers, testimonies, historical accounts. He hadn't spent this much time reading nonfiction since his college years. But he could feel it now, the wall in his head. Tearing it down was another story. Kim Dokja could think of nothing more terrifying than someone knowing him as well as he knew Yoo Jung-hyuk. So, plan B it was. A Tuesday morning in Kwanghwamun. At the foot of an unremarkable office building, an agitated woman directed a group of burly men into discharging their cargo. The moving truck had been late, of course, stuck in traffic as it was wont to be at this hour. The woman raked a hand through her long blonde hair and sighed. She was making a visible effort not to swear. The movers were already doing their best to catch up,
rolling carts loaded with furniture disappearing through the building's sliding doors.
Rough morning?
She startled. A man stood next to her. He was so unassuming in his slacks and white shirt that she hadn't noticed him coming. He was watching the movers going to and fro. There were two Starbucks cups in his hands. She found herself eyeing them with envy. He must have caught her look because he tilted one toward her.
Want it?
Oh, I didn't mean to.
It's fine, you can have it. I got stood up by my date anyway.
His smile was bland, like it hadn't even been a surprise for him. Uriel found her initial wariness fading. Her heart went out to him. He wasn't ugly, really, just a bit plain. Not everyone could be Yoo Jung Hyuk.
Sounds like a rough morning for everyone, she said in commiseration, taking the offered drink.
It's a macchiato, he said. She made a rough sound of approval and took an eager sip.
Ah, bliss. She liked this guy already.
The guy, of course, was Kim Dokta, and he wasn't here for a date, obviously, but he knew that Uriel, despite her uncompromising nature, had a soft spot for sob stories. He also knew that her favorite drink was caramel macchiatos, but he had skipped the caramel. She would have been suspicious if a stranger had just chanced upon her drug of choice.
So, your company is moving in? He asked, sipping at his own coffee.
That's right. Transcendence Gaming will have the fourth floor from now on. He let his eyes light up.
Oh, I know Transcendence. You have Yoo Jung Hyuk's new team, right?
Yes, she said, beaming. She didn't add, however, that she was Team 999's manager. So she was still cautious of him. It was probable that the only reason she allowed the conversation was the address of Transcendence Gaming's new gaming house had yet to be made public, so there should have been no way for a rabid fan to show up here and offer her coffee.
Are you into esport? She said. I used to be when I was working for Minosoft. Ways of Survival was their biggest title, so most of us watched the league. It kind of soured for me when I was let go, though. These days, Yoo Jung Hyuk is the only gamer I follow anymore.
He crafted his story with care, talking about his past professional failures was a risk for what he was aiming for, but he was banking on his candor to win Uriel over.
That's a shame, she said, her eyes softening. So you're a game developer?
Maybe she was already thinking that it would be good to have him as a professional connection.
I'm in the technical field, he fudged, because QA sounded a lot less impressive.
How do you like it? She asked.
Right on track. I'm getting a bit tired of it, to be honest. I think I'd like to do something different, but I don't really know what.
He glanced at his coffee in contemplation. Then he looked at her with a small smile.
Say, Transcendence Gaming wouldn't happen to be hiring, would it?
He said it like it was a joke, even though it really wasn't. He knew Transcendence Gaming was looking to expand. Its current employees could barely sustain its growth. Uriel was constantly overworked, and her presence today was a symptom of that. It shouldn't have been up to the team manager to oversee the installation of the new facilities. She speared him with a piercing look. Kim Dokja's hand became sweaty around his cup. He sustained her gaze, not allowing his poker face to slip. If she brushed him off here, it was all over. Kim Dokja had never tried something so brazen in his life. To find a job in IT, you looked up postings online, emailed your CV, and made phone calls. Even during job interviews, Kim Dokja was the demure type, delivering a rote script of his achievements, answering questions, shaking hands, and thanking people for their time. Unless you had the kind of self-confidence and ass-kissing needed to make department head before 30, you didn't just walk up to someone and ask them if they were hiring. But here was Uriel, a woman he had only ever seen in Yoo Jung Hyuk's fulgurations. A woman who had always felt a bit like a fictional character to him. He could hold out his hand and touch her, and she would be warm and solid, but it had yet to fully sink in. He felt like an actor playing a part in a movie.
You know, she said, I do believe we are.
His heart jumped. He allowed himself to show surprise.
Really?
Really, she said, smiling. Would you like to apply? I could do with an assistant. assistant manager of Yoo Jung-hyuk's team. He firmly held on to his composure. The deal wasn't done yet.
Well, I don't know,
he said, sounding interested but cautious.
What would I have to do?
Oh, all sorts of things. Scheduling training matches, making travel reservations, assembling files for sponsor meetings, contacting the press for interviews. Coffee runs, definitely, she added, lifting her cup with a cheeky grin.
I can do coffee runs, he smiled back.
You speak English, right? We have a lot of international sponsors and teams we like to practice with. He wasn't exactly fluent, but he got by. Well then, what do you think? She said.
You know, I'm really tempted, he admitted.
She held out her hand to him. I'm Uriel.
Kimdokja, he said, shaking it.
Well, Kimdokja-si, why don't you start with helping me with the move-in? We'll see if I find you up to par while we do that. He held on to his friendly expression through sheer force of will. Uriel's smile was angelic. One could almost believe that she hadn't just scammed some poor sucker into providing free labor. At least he knew her well enough that he had taken the day off.
Let's get to it, I suppose.
He sighed as he binned his empty cup. That's the spirit. He managed to avoid having to handle the heaviest furniture, aware that he didn't have the musculature to impress her this way. The movers knew what they were doing far better than him, he argued. It was obvious by the gleam in her eyes that she saw through him, but she stopped teasing him into moving this or that cupboard when she realized he knew his way around computers. Not that he usually had cause to manipulate brand new top-of-the-line gaming equipment, but he had picked up enough from Yoo Jung-hyuk. She clapped her hands and decided that he was to set up the training rooms. There were two training rooms for the two teams currently working under Transcendence Gaming. He got to work pushing tables into position, then gutting cardboard boxes holding hard drives, expensive flat screens, and miles of cables. The keyboards and mouses he set aside in cabinets, knowing that every gamer would bring his own preferred set from home. This looks wonderful, Uriel said when she stopped by to check on his progress. Kimdokja was taking a break in one of the new gaming chairs. He stretched his sore back. Damn, this chair was really comfortable. To think that Yoo Jung-hyuk would spend all his days in one of these. He forgot his envy as it occurred to him that Yoo Jung-hyuk might, in fact, choose the very chair he was sitting in. The leather under his thighs suddenly felt too warm.
Streaming rooms next, he said, getting up and dusting his pants.
Uriel gasped. It's like you're reading my mind. How did you know? She said it with humor, but her eyes were inquisitive. Streaming rooms weren't part of the default setup for esport companies. Streaming and competitive gaming were two different beasts entirely.
Yoo Jung-hyuk is getting old enough to think about retiring from tournaments soon, right? Kimdokja said. But Transcendence Gaming still contracted him. You didn't touch his streaming schedule either. I figure that means you plan to support him when he leaves competitive gaming and switches to full-time streaming. More and more esport companies are making that choice, with their retiring headliners lately. If I'm right, of course you'd need at least one room for him to stream in peace.
He wasn't cheating much this time. He hadn't heard anything about this from Yoo Jung-hyuk, but he knew that Namgun Min-young would never leave her protege in the lurch. Uriel's lips curved slowly. Who knows, was all she said, but he thought she sounded impressed. And then, the streaming rooms are in the next corridor over. He smiled. But I'll let you go for today, Uriel added. It's getting late.
For today, he stressed.
She beamed. So, how soon can you start? 1 week and one farewell party later, really an excuse for his colleagues to get drunk at the nearest bar, Kimdokja found himself packing up his desk in the QA department. He left without fanfare, and without regret. He was on his way home unusually early. Finding a seat in the subway was easy. He deposited his small box of personal affairs next to him and settled down to watch Yoo Jung-hyuk's stream. The background of the webcam feed was no longer Yoo Jung-hyuk's home office, but a blue wall displaying Transcendence Gaming's logo. The chat commented on the change.
For once, Yoo Jin-hyuk answered.
We have moved into Transcendence Gaming's new facilities. Namgun Min-yong prefers in-person coaching, so now that the office is open, it will also serve as a gaming house. Since it's more convenient, I will be streaming from here too. There will be a slight modification to my schedule as a result. Starting next week, the Wednesday streaming session will be moved a half hour earlier. The Saturday stream will stay at the same hour.
No doubt he had made that decision, so he had time to go back home to Mia at the end of the day. The Saturday stream was already scheduled pretty early in the afternoon, so it wasn't a bother. It being maintained, however, meant that Kim Dokja, like Uriel and the rest of the team, would be working Tuesday to Saturday from now on. She had warned him of that. No more watching the streams on lazy weekend afternoons. No more catching them on his way home. If he thought about it too long, it made him maudlin.
Demon King of Salvation has sponsored 10 coins. This is your official notice of absence, Yoo Jin-hyuk. Persephone.
Uh-oh.
Ghost Fleet.
Whoa, Ajashi making a donation? Are you sick?
What a brat. Money didn't grow on trees, all right. He only had a small stash of Starstream coins that he used when he had to get Yoo Jin-hyuk's attention in an emergency. Yoo Jin-hyuk's head swiveled.
You have to leave, he said, frowning.
Demon King of Salvation.
Aren't you going to praise me for sending a proper notice this time? See how well I'm meeting your unreasonable demands, YJH. It's almost like I'm getting paid for this.
Ghost Fleet.
Lol, this time?
Demon King. Yoo Jin-hyuk growled. What?
Demon King of Salvation.
It's like I said, I probably won't make the streams in the next few weeks.
Hopefully he'd be able to pop back in once he'd adjusted to the new job, but he'd have to play it by ear.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
Oh no.
Persephone.
That's a shame, Demon King.
Persephone.
Did something happen?
Is it because of the new schedule? Yoo Jin-hyuk said.
Demon King of Salvation.
Just some things changing in my life. Nothing to worry about.
He zoomed in on Yoo Jin-hyuk. The man looked surprisingly petulant.
Fine,
he said after a silence. He sounded reluctant, like a boss signing up on an employee's leave request. Hey, once again this jerk didn't actually pay him for this.
Hurry up and come back,
Yoo Jin-hyuk added, and to signify the end of the conversation, launched his character into a brutal monster slaughter. Really, only that guy.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
See you soon, DK.
Yes, he'd see them both very soon. The office had changed since the last time Kim Dokja had set foot inside. All the rooms were properly furnished, the decorations and plants had been set out, and the space was starting to feel lived in. Uriel's desk particularly was a mess of sticky notes, files, and pens. One lone water bottle stood next to the computer monitor in an attempt to escape the chaos. I have so many things to show you, Uriel said, gesturing with the macchiato he had brought her. Right, first off, this is your desk. He had assumed so. The bare piece of furniture had been shoved into a corner of the room, since Uriel's office hadn't originally been meant for two people. Still, the room was big enough to accommodate them, and he wasn't picky. Working in an open space for his entire career had ensured that. While he stored his bag next to the seat, Uriel kept talking. My colleague Gabriel is next door. She's in charge of the 73rd Demon World team, while I take care of the Ways of Survival team. I'll introduce you when she comes in, but you are not to let her steal you. You are my assistant. She can get her own.
So if she tries to grab me, I just tell her to take it up with you.
He smiled.
Damn right.
Oh, Donghun-si.
The young man who had been trying to pass undetected in the corridor flinched. He hesitantly poked his head in.
Donghun-si, this is the new guy, Kim Dokja. Dokja-si, this is our IT expert and social media guru, Han Donghun.
Kim Dokja opened his mouth to say hello, but Han Donghun gave a quick bow and disappeared. Uriel shrugged cheerfully.
He's a bit shy.
she launched into a detailed explanation of the corkboard on the wall and her filing system. Kim Dokja listened, even as he kept an ear tuned to the corridor, hyper-aware of the elevator every time it deposited someone new on the floor. Still, it felt like Uriel was skipping a step. He interrupted her to ask about the contract he had yet to sign. She stopped, looking embarrassed. Ah, about that. Well,
it's with me.
Someone else cut in. Kim Dokja's heart lurched, but even as he whirled toward the door, he recognized that this wasn't Yoo Jung-hyuk's voice. The man standing there was certainly handsome, but his hair was long and pale, and his eyes were glacier blue. Director Neem, Uriel hurried to say, like she was trying to pass a cue card to Kim Dokja. But he didn't need the introduction.
Director Kyrgios Raggrenim, Kim Dokja said with a polite bow.
Kyrgios looked at him, down his elegant nose.
At least you're not totally clueless, he grumbled.
Kim Dokja tried not to sweat as that blue gaze dissected him. Yoo Jung-hyuk didn't have much to do with Transcendence Gaming's daily operations director, and mostly knew him as his teacher's ill-tempered friend. It was hard to figure out how to butter the man up.
Outside of our players, recruitment usually falls to me, Kyrgios said. I acceded to Uriel's request because we do need more hands. I trust you will not make me regret it.
Yes, sir.
And despite what Uriel may have said,
he added with a gimlet eye to her, who feigned innocence.
I expect you to assist our second team if Gabriel requests help. We all have to pitch in until we can recruit more.
Understood, sir. Kyrgios humped. He drew a sheaf of paper from his briefcase and shoved it at Kim Dokja's chest. Then he spun on his heel and exited. Uriel dropped her act and pouted at his back. Then she turned to Kim Dokja. Don't be discouraged. It's nothing personal. The director is always like that. Yes, he knew, but he smiled at her, appreciating the reassurance. The papers were Kim Dokja's contract. He started skimming it, just in case Kyrgios had sneaked in a petty clause. No sooner had he turned the first page than Uriel shouted, "Guys, come meet your new assistant manager." The contract shook wildly in his hands. He let it drop on his desk. Kim Namun was the first one to bound into the office.
"Finally, a new minion is here," he cackled.
"You're not to bully him," Uriel warned. "Only I can do that." Lee Ji-hae shoved Kim Namun aside and looked Kim Dokja up and down. Unlike her partner in crime, she bowed, though not very deep. "Hello," she said, sounding vaguely unconvinced. His lips quirked up. The disconnect was here again. How strange to face these people he knew so much about, but for whom he was a stranger.
"Hey, nice to meet you."
He meant it, but most of his attention was on the door. Two men were approaching in the corridor. The tallest one, Lee Hyun-sung, kept his bulk behind his team leader, a polite smile on his face. And Yoo Jung-hyuk.
Oh. Had Yoo Jung-hyuk always been so tall and fit?
His black shirt stuck to his chest like a second skin. His coat framed wide shoulders. Long legs ending in military boots carried him forward with ground-eating strides. His eyes were lowered, causing his lashes to fan over sharp cheekbones. Yoo Jung-hyuk looked up. Their eyes met. It caught them both like a punch to the gut. Kim Dokja lost his breath. Yoo Jung-hyuk froze. The white showed all around his irises. He looked astonished. He looked like he knew Kim Dokja.